Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tab, also on them.
Service plan required for watch or tab. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and it's time to look forward to the first preseason game on the first episode of the year of what will become our matchups series during the season. It seems silly to call it that during the preseason because we're not really trying to handicap these games or even really care that much about the win-loss outcome. But we're calling it What to Look For is the series during the preseason. And joining me is my matchups host for during the season, Frazier Tafar. Frazier, how you doing?
Doing good, Ken. Glad to be on for 2024 season of What to Look For. And we got an interesting game coming up against the Eagles.
Really appreciate all the co-hosts from the other shows. One Last Thing, the matchup show, all the people who come on for the Know Your Foe series. And of course, Vas Larikos for Friday Morning GM. But they make it a lot easier to get through the season and do the 8 shows a week that we do here. And Frazier, I really enjoy the stuff we get to do together. Let's look ahead to this Eagles game, though. Something that, we've been waiting a long time for football. We've been waiting since January 28th for a football game. And we won't get much of the starters in this one.
Yeah, I don't expect to see any of the big names, potentially second-year starters, third-year starters, just maybe knocking off the rust like Travis Jones, or like we'll maybe put in Leonard Baum, maybe one in series just to see if he's not feeling that tissue issue. But other than that, I do expect to see the young guys to see a majority of clock.
Yeah, and I think that's the way it always goes. The guys who are on the fringe of the roster fighting for spots are the ones who we'll see in there in the second half. For sure. And we got some interesting matchups and interesting roster decisions still to be made. There is, I know the Ravens always minimize the impact of roster decisions, but this April, they drafted Nick Samak as a potential center to back up Linderbaum. I don't see him as really being in the picture for that backup spot right now. I think it's an open competition. I think they have several guys who could be the first up in that consideration, but I don't think Samak is it. So we'll talk about that a little bit with the offensive line. We'll just jump right in. We've seen a couple of different guys at center the last couple of days at camp. Darian Dalcourt has spent a lot of time there, and Samak is healthy. He's there. He's just not taking the top reps or the most reps. And then today it was Ben Cleveland who got a fair amount of playing time at center. We also saw a day where Voorhees had a lot of playing time at center. So it's been a interspersing of those snaps among various players.
Yeah, and I think maybe the thing that set Samak back is that he had issues during the rookie camp with injuries, and he wasn't able to continue to get up to speed with the offense and things of that nature. So maybe he's still reaping the, I wouldn't say reward, but his doings from that, and continuing to go down the positioning ranking as well. And maybe Dalport is more of a reliable option in terms of Mustafer like we had last year. And I think we might keep that as is.
Dalcourt, a much bigger man, a guard listed at 6'3", 320. I think if I had to guess why Samak is not getting as much, he's 6'4", 314, a leaner build out of Michigan State. If I had to guess, I'd say he doesn't have nearly the strength that Dalcourt has. And that'll take him a year to get. And also, looking at Cleveland and Voorhees, those are guys with grown man strength.
Right.
And you know, the Ravens need a backup potentially to get them through a ball game, potentially to take several games. Samak can't be where the Ravens want him to be, or I think we'd have seen more from him so far. Let's move over to Voorhees. He's been, in my mind, he's won the left guard job. I don't think there's any real doubt about it. It's never really been a question. He's got a lot of praise from Harbaugh, which I would take with a grain of salt, but also from the other linemen who play next to him, whether that's Linderbaum and Stanley, we've seen at the podium. And they both really like what they're seeing in Voorhees, as does the offensive line coach, Joe D. So lots of nice words.
Yeah, and I know you probably don't follow Madden or anything like that, but he's ranked the second or the first strongest lineman in the game. So I don't know what that means. Yeah, they haven't seen him play, but either way, I'm excited to see how Voorhees does, especially coming up against the Eagles. Curious to see what his time will be at left guard, because that will be the most of intrigue. I anticipate him being there for potentially a quarter, and then being shuffled along the line just to fill holes at that point and give other guys opportunity at left guard. But from your point of view at camp, does he seem to be handling the rush from our ones well?
It's really hard to say, because pressure has been pretty high for a lot of camp in terms of what's been given up. And it's really hard to actually pin it on individual people. I can just say it's very difficult to do. They've had some padded practices. Protection has probably looked a little better since the pads have come on. Harbaugh mentioned that they're doing a better job of picking up stunts and blitzes. Yeah, I think so. But they're not really doing a great job of picking up the corner blitzes. I can tell you that for right now, that the slot corner blitzes in particular, the defense has been ruthless, relentless, remorseful in terms of sending them. And the offense has not shown the ability to stop those yet. Now, those are not typically the responsibility of alignment,
right?
But still, you'd like to see there may be shifts necessary to get that player blocked up. And I'd love to think that really portends what it has meant to the defense in this preseason so far, in camp so far. But I kind of doubt it's going to be quite as effective as it's been, because they've been ridiculously good in terms of getting to the quarterback.
Which is honestly a good thing, because it helps Lamar and the offense understand how to slide protection and then get our young running backs, not Henry and not Hill, more situated to these kind of adjustments, because they've never really been into high-pressure situations, and our defense is always going to be fast and physical. So I love that, even though we're not maybe handling it well, but I love that we're getting those looks early.
Right. I would agree. It's interesting that the strength rating you mentioned in Madden is where it is. I'll say this. I don't think that strength is the single most important attribute by any means for an offensive line. It's nice to have grown man strength. It definitely is. But, you know, if he has a lean build, his pad level is going to play a bigger role in terms of whether or not he gives up a lot of pressures by bull rush. So I don't think we've really know yet where he is on this. I think he probably moves well enough in terms of getting on the line of scrimmage. It's certainly been something that Coach Joe has been able to train out of mediocre athletes, as I've talked about on the show a number of times before. And he is probably above that, I would say. I don't know how he'll be in level two, and I really don't know how he's going to react to pressure being put on either side of him, whether that means some sort of stunt game that's being played where he's facing a guy coming on an under, where his block is at a different than a straight ahead angle. I don't know really what to expect out of him. So we'll see. We'll get, I think, a pretty good look versus some pretty darn good defensive linemen against the Eagles.
Yeah, I'm hoping we go against either Jalen Carter or Fletcher or whoever they have up front, their top guys, because then we'll really see where he's at.
Who's the guy that they have? Is it Davis, the enormous guy that was drafted immediately after Hamilton?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Him and Jalen Carter.
Yeah. They've definitely got some big boys up front, so that'll be good. Well, let's move on. We'll go a little quicker. Daniel Faalele and Ben Cleveland at right guard. I'd like to see how that comes up. Really big for the first game is to see the order of deployment, because it really is the best first cut on what the coaches believe the order of the depth chart is at this exact moment in time. And things can change from a game. We saw Salah, for example, had implode during the preseason last year. It looked definitively not ready for the NFL, and it's affected him, frankly, ever since. But in the case of Falele and Cleveland, it'll be interesting how they line them up.
Yeah, I'm almost close to saying that Falele is going to be this year's Salah for Cleveland, just to give him motivation. Disappointing it's come to that. I just think we're going to see the same kind of performance from that, like what we did last year with Salah, not really able to handle the pressure inside. And we could see that from Falele this preseason, just based on his prior experience on the outside at tackle. And now you're bringing him inside, which is a much more faster game. You need to have even more better hand fighting. And he hasn't shown that up to this point. So I'm hoping that's the case, that we have another Salah. I forgot his name already.
Ben Cleveland? Or no, Salah and Simpson?
Simpson, exactly. Yeah. Hoping that to be this case this year.
Yeah, I think there's a pretty good bet that they end up with Simpson at right guard. I've kind of been pimping that the whole time. And I've sat here and watched as Falele has basically gotten the bulk of the snaps during this camp at right guard. Cleveland has been shuttled around a lot. He's played some right tackle. He's played some right guard. He's played some center. He's played some left guard. And I think we might see him at three positions if I had to guess during the preseason. I don't think he'll play right tackle because I think the Ravens have enough of those. I think you could see him at left guard, right guard, and center in this first preseason game.
They need to make some kind of documentary on this Ben Cleveland situation, because I'm curious where it went downhill. It's almost like he doesn't want to play anymore. Like he's just there to finish out his contract, but we'll see.
I mean, the kid has everything on the line this year in terms of how he's going to live the rest of his life. Yeah. If it truly doesn't matter to him, the NFL will oblige him. They will, you know, not look to throw money at him anymore after this year. But if he has a big year, he could make a lot of money. John Simpson just did. And,
I agree.
All right, let's move on. I think we'll see some of Rosengarten. The question is, where we'll see him? Will we see him at right tackle and at left tackle in this game? I think there's a pretty good chance we see him at both. And I think that probably he gets in as soon as McCary is done at right tackle, which probably will be a series or two at the most. And then we'll see a fair amount of Roger Rosengarten, which I know is one of the players a lot of people want to see.
Yeah, I expect him to, once he takes over for McCary, to be in there until the second half. Sorry. And then move over to left tackle and beginning in the second half, and then finish it out there. I don't see them trying to move him inside and just doing whatever. Has he played center in practice at all?
No, Rosengarten's been tackle exclusively.
Okay, good. So, yeah, I just think right tackle first half, left tackle second half.
Yeah, I will say, sadly, I really hope this was not true. It looks like from the preseason, from the camp so far, that Rosengarten's anchor appears to be the problem I would feared it was. Okay. That he is getting pushed around a lot by some linemen. You know, I talk about not being able to tell exactly where the pressure is coming from. He's the one guy who looks like he's getting backed up a fair amount. Josh Jones, a little bit too, has gotten a little pushed around in this camp, but he's gotten pushed around. So we'll see. Hopefully he's not that far away. Hopefully the Ravens can figure out where he fits in their 25 plans, even without seeing him play for all of 24. But I think this preseason is a chance to get him in at a couple different positions and see how he can help. All right, let's move on. Josh Jones, basically could play either tackle or guard. He's played a little bit of both this preseason. I don't really see him as contending for any starting role right now, even with the problems the Ravens have at guard, with the potential for McCary, them wanting to save him as a backup left tackle as opposed to starting him at right tackle. I mean, I don't think he's contending for the starting right tackle job in any way. I think he's a pure backup. And a fairly versatile backup, but not one who is particularly good. One thing about Jones is he's had a lot of false starts in this camp. He's run a lot of laps for those because they're running a lap every time they have a false start this year.
Wow. Okay. So in that case, what do you think, like, you just explained Rosengarten has issues anchoring. Where do you think Joshua Jones has his deficiencies at?
Penalties. By far is the biggest thing. So, the biggest thing? Simpson, remember how much I used to complain about his penalties? Well, yeah. Josh Jones has 36% more penalties per snap career than John Simpson did.
That's not good.
No, it's not good. It's in the wrong direction, and it's been corroborated by the false starts we've seen so far in camp. We haven't really seen a bunch of post-snap fouls. We haven't seen a bunch of post-snap fouls, period. The officials are not being overly officious jerks, as Marv Levy, I think it was, said one time, in terms of the calling a lot of penalties. And, they're letting them play. But we'll see. I mean, Josh Jones, I can't really say I'm in a position to grade him in terms of what's happened, but I would say he's probably been pushed around a little bit in terms of some of the pressure the Ravens have created. And they've made it very difficult on the Ravens' backup quarterbacks in particular, by getting people in and after the quarterback. All right, got to keep moving here. Tayshaun Manning is another player I'm really excited to see. I think he could be probably fit on the final offensive line spot. You know, could be a player like Saleh is competing with Manning. Saleh would be in his second year. Manning is in his first still. He spent all last year on the practice squad, came out of Kentucky, moves pretty well. But definitely has the size that the Ravens, you know, have often coveted at guard. So I think he could be a guy they really like. He graded out very well on PFF last preseason. I agreed in terms of the action I graded for him. And I think he's, he's probably a pretty good bet to make the team.
Yeah, it's like you said, it's against him and Saleh. And it's almost like you haven't heard a peep out of Saleh all season and then up to this point. So it's interesting to see how people get propped up 1 year and next year they essentially fall off the face of the earth. And I'm hoping he makes the practice squad and continues to develop. But at this point in our franchise's history, I don't think we have time to just drag along an offensive lineman to continue to develop.
Right. And he's a size and shape guy that some other team may take away from the Ravens if they cut him. And honestly, I'm probably at a point where if that's the only road we got out of here, try and trade him. But if it doesn't work out, then you just have to go ahead and release him and take the chance that he gets taken.
Yep.
All right, let's move on. Tight end, we haven't talked about it all. We haven't talked about anything but offensive line so far. I think there's only one real question here, and the top three seem to be very well set. They had a tremendous year throwing the ball to the tight ends, but Kadir Ishmael has looked terrific in camp so far. Looks like a big-bodied guy, much in the mold of Darren Waller. Mm-hmm. And I think he's going to get out there. You're going to immediately like what this guy looks like in the first preseason game. When they throw him the ball, he's got a very big catch radius. He's very aggressive going after the ball, catching it away from his body. Does a good job helping the quarterback by boxing out and coming back to him. And he's really turned out to be a good blocker. He put David Ajabo on his rear end the other day in what was probably the highlight of the day for that. That was, I'm trying to think of what day this was. I think it was Saturday that occurred on.
Not good for David Ajabo.
No. But
yeah. I'm pulling for Kadir. I'm from the Harvard County area. He grew up in the Harvard County area. So I just want him to do well and be successful. And I think having someone like we had Keaton Mitchell last year, someone who has heritage with the team. Now we have Kadir, or someone with heritage with the team. Like, there's no doubt in my mind, and I hope other fans' mind, that these two players are willing to die for this team. Not literally, but they've grown up enjoying this team, loving this team. And when they go out there and play, they actually want to make a difference for the team because they've seen them for so long and grew up rooting for them. So just having guys like that, in my opinion, goes a long way. And on top of that, Kadir is obviously making his presence known in the training camp. So I just can't wait to see him in action, in live action. And in terms of Kohler, I just want to see him continue to block well, make the plays when they're there. I mean, he's going to be a part of the plans moving forward, so I really don't see any risk for his job. I just I want to see Kadir continue to move his way up in the roster.
Yeah, they would trade him if they were going to do it. And I'm thinking they could get more than a 7 for Charlie Kolar, like maybe a 6 for Kolar if they traded him at this point. He's got 2 years left on his rookie deal. He's obviously, in addition to being cheap, but Kadir has 4 years left on his rookie deal. And that's right. One of the reasons why they may want to do that. If you think about it, they could bifurcate the tight end pool into multiple years in which they graduate out. So effectively, Andrews and Likely each have 2 years left, and they're going to have to make a decision, then probably sign one, let the other go. And then it would be nice to not have another guy who's in that same spot who they might not know all that much about at the end of this year. If you look at how snaps will be divided, Kolar would be in that position. They might rather have Kadir, a younger guy, to pair up with either Likely or Andrews, whoever is going to end up staying in Baltimore.
I really hope they work something out with Andrews, like a hometown discount, so Likely can get paid, quote unquote, with us, because I can't see Mark going anywhere else. I think my heart would break if he goes anywhere else. He's a true Raven, and I just can't see that.
Well, Lamar wants to keep him, I'm sure, but I think what it would take is he would have to have the Monken would have to have a big year calling great 12 personnel offense. And unfortunately, with something we saw today, and we'll segue into the wide receiver position with this, Bateman was hurt in practice today. I don't know if he'll miss time or not, but it's Harbaugh was very curt about his response. We don't have information on that yet. And a lot of times he's willing to give you news he thinks is good, even if it's a slight exaggeration on the circumstance. But when I hear that kind of response, I immediately think that is potentially not good at all. So we'll see.
Could potentially be a broken rib, or he could have torn his oblique, one of those things. Because it seems like the report from, I think it was Jonah Schaefer.
Okay.
Jeff Zriebeck. Yeah. Uh-huh. He said that when Bateman went down, he got up, but he was holding his like rib cage abdomen area and walking gingerly. So
yeah,
that's the indication that I got. There's potential, if Harbaugh is being like reserved about his response, that could be the issue.
Yeah, it could certainly be a lot of things. If that's the case, broken rib might actually be one of the better things. If you're talking about some of those other potential injuries, because even an oblique strain, those things can last a long time. And wide receivers, they have to use that muscle a lot. Yep. So do all football players. But anyway, it's hopefully something's not coming out. We'll say this. The Ravens have three different guys who've looked very good to me in camp in different roles. Dayton Wade, I really want to see get on the field against the Eagles. Malik Cunningham is fairly versatile receiver. And Sean Ryan, who's a bigger guy, can certainly play on the outside. He honestly might end up being the X receiver for the Ravens if Bateman were hurt. They've got Aguilar, so they might start with him and have Ryan as a backup. But boy, it'd be a very, very difficult to deal with world if Rashad Bateman is hurt.
Yeah, and I think I'm curious to see how Sean Ryan continues his progress from last year, because he did look good in the preseason, and he had that touchdown and that decent game. I think, what's your opinion on Scotty Washington?
I mean, he's a tight end for starters. So Isaiah Washington is the wide receiver. And let me confirm that, because I sometimes have been getting them mixed up. 86, Isaiah Washington is a wide receiver, and Scotty Washington is a tight end.
Isaiah Washington, yes.
So it's not that Isaiah Washington has been bad. I just wouldn't put him on the same level as those other three guys. Wade does look like a very dangerous, awesome option for jet motion and gadgetry. Cunningham has looked like a guy who's dangerous out of the slot or potentially out of the Z. It'd be a guy who can give you good crossing routes. I don't really think of him as an X receiver. He probably has a lot of development as a route runner to get there. And Sean Ryan is probably the most, he's the largest of those three receivers. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
Ryan is about 6'3". Ryan is 6'3", 200. So the Ravens like their larger receivers. The other guy who could potentially get significantly more playing time is Tez Walker. Mm-hmm. So he's been a strange case in camp because he seems like he's taken some really cheap shots this camp from Christian Matthew a couple times. I forget who gave him the third one, whether it was Simpson, because he's dished out a lot of cheap shots in this camp. He's just playing very physical. But it's whatever the case, Walker has made some fine plays, and then it seems like he gets hit and things start to go wrong. Either he loses a football or he can't play the next day or other things. So while I really want to see him on the field and what he can do vertically for this offense, I'm not sure he makes a lot of sense at the X receiver at this point in his career. He's another guy who I think who has a lot of work to do as a route runner to develop the complementary routes to make his deep routes effective. He's got to have a good comeback route specifically to make his deep routes effective.
Referring to Tez Walker, correct?
Yeah, referring to Tez.
Got it. You didn't put Tylan Wallace on your list.
Tylan Wallace is the sixth guy who's already made the team, and Deontay Hardy has missed some time. So I didn't talk about him either, but you know, Wallace will be in there returning kicks. The other guy who probably will do it is Dayton Wade in this game. Wade would be a guy who could return kicks, could return punts. They did punt drills today, and Wade looked very natural tracking the football. Wallace looked natural enough tracking the football. He's generally getting underneath it fairly well, but he had a couple of problems where he dropped the ball. So it's not something that Harbaugh tolerates for very long. So right. we could see a case where Wade gets an opportunity or two, I think, returning kicks.
Okay. And one more. Deontay Hardy, has he factored into the offense at all from what you've seen?
He's hardly practiced. So has he caught a few balls? Sure. The time that Hardy was at practice, Lamar wasn't. And nice. So he had these, you know, this buckshot shooting that's going on from the backup quarterbacks. It's very scattered. Yeah. And Hardy is trying to catch it on some fly routes and some, you know, other routes that require a little bit of accuracy. Yeah.
Okay. That's fair.
Yeah. But there's nothing that's disqualified Hardy from being an effective part of the offense from what I've seen so far. We haven't seen him in any good situation today. All right, let's move on and talk about running back a little bit. We know we won't see Derrick Henry very much in this game. Will he get a couple carries? Possibly. Should he get a couple carries? Probably not.
Yeah.
The only thing I'd like to see from Derrick Henry in this game, and it's only if they're willing to put Lamar out there, is whether or not Lamar and he have kind of a symbiotic relationship with a mesh point. Henry, as good as he is, if he has too tight a cage – or if he wants to transact too early with Lamar, will reduce Lamar's value by not allowing him the late pulls that have made him very successful. And Gus Edwards had a lot of problems with that, by the way, coming up. They came up in 2018. Lamar had a ton of fumbles. Many of them were on the exchange with Henry. And they, you know, they had time to figure it out, and they eventually became very good at it together. I think that with Henry, when Monken was last at the podium, he said, you know, really haven't had a chance to evaluate it yet in terms of Henry and the mesh point.
And that's a little concerning because, like you said, that's a really big part of Lamar's game, just this decisiveness and being able to manipulate a defense with that. In my opinion, I don't think he'll probably dress up this game. I think he'll be on the sideline. I think we'll see Justice Hill get the nod for the first preseason game. And then from then on, like you said, I want to see the order, who comes out first, whether it be Owen or Ali. And mm-hmm. I mentioned to you in the production meeting, Chris Collier, I want to see mm-hmm. what he does, because I've seen just the little glimpses of camp, has a little burst, has quick feet, and I just want to see where he is compared to Ali.
Yeah. Collier has done some things that have been kind of impressive. He's caught the football and had some yak. He got through a pretty tight little crease the other day. He also put the ball on the ground once. So He hasn't had a lot of opportunities. And I'd say he does not look like much in terms of pass blocking from what I've seen in the running back inside linebacker drills, which I would expect. I would expect that to be, you know, a shortcoming. Ali probably is even worse as a pass blocker. Just not, it's, he's way too small at the NFL level to do it. He wasn't good in college either. It's not like I'm coming up with this out of thin air or anything. Owen Wright has looked pretty good as a pass blocker. He's looked like he's had some juice as a runner and as a receiver. So it wouldn't shock me if probably still doesn't make the team. Ali will make the team over him. But that if they have a need for a running back, as always seems to occur with injuries during the year, that Owen Wright could well get some practice squad elevations there. And those practice squad elevations can turn into a roster spot once somebody's lost for the season.
Okay. That's reasonable. I just want to see what are the options we have out there, just in the case of Keaton Mitchell not being exactly who he was last year,
yeah,
and having a really good contingency plan for that.
Yeah, they don't have anything that's a really good contingency plan for Keaton Mitchell, who's a superstar. But Keaton Mitchell will be back at some point this year. Hopefully he'll be able to ramp back up and then be back fully in 2025. Okay. If he could get, I think, 50 carries this year, it'd be great. Mm. I don't think it's necessarily going to happen. I think he'll be back sometime in the second half of the year. I'll tell you what else would be great. I'll take zero during the regular season if he come back in the postseason and help the Ravens a little bit.
100%.
Yeah.
No. I am almost anticipating him being back week 10 or week 12. Mm-hmm. It's going to be really late in the year because I know we have PTSD with J.K. Dobbins, and we don't want another situation where we put our top running back at risk again just to rush him on the field when we have enough people to carry the load until he's ready.
That was a bad situation for multiple reasons, but the fault in large part rests with Dobbins, who said, I'm ready. I don't want to be held back. I'm ready to play. You have a star player who's saying that basically and doing so unwisely. And then you watch him run the football and he's carrying a piano on his back.
Yeah.
It didn't make any sense for him to be hurried back. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Let's move on. The quarterback competition, and I'm using air quotes with that, isn't much. I mean, I don't really think from watching camp that Leary is a legitimate option to be the number two behind Jackson. I think it's Johnson really at the only right now. It's just a matter of what do they do with Leary, I guess. Do they hold him, use up a roster spot on a third quarterback, which I guess they might, or do they just cut him, send him to the practice squad, let him work with the team, and hopefully nobody else takes him. And then he's available at some point later during the year. But it's if they were in a nuclear situation where Jackson was lost and Johnson needed a backup, I'm not even sure they'd go to Leary under those circumstances. I think they might go to the street.
Wow, so, you think it's been that bad for Leary this camp?
I there's things he can do that look like an NFL quarterback, and then there's a whole bunch of other ways in which he doesn't look like an NFL quarterback. And doesn't look like he would function very well within the Ravens' offensive scheme also. One thing he does very well is to make multiple play action fakes on the same play, kind of like late career Manning would do. Mm-hmm. You know, so basically you fake a throw, fake a handoff, then you make a throw somewhere else. So you had two different fakes that you know, force the defense into going the wrong way. But other than that, I he's a pocket quarterback. He's not a runner. And, I think it'll be difficult for him.
Interesting why we wasted a pick on him then.
Yep. And on Samak and maybe on Sanusi Kane as well. So
yeah. And Ali.
Yeah. Ali, I still have hope. But their top four rounds of picks I still like. And TJ Tampa, we haven't seen him yet at all this
He's
year.
Still hurt, so, right?
Yeah. Well, let's move on to the defense anyway. Talk a little bit about that. The interior defensive line, the roster is essentially set for the big five, and I hope these guys don't see much playing time at all. But with the number of defensive linemen needed for a preseason game, you're probably going to see some of them for some of the first half. So maybe Jones plays a little bit, maybe Matabike plays a couple series, and then they start rotating into a second tier of guys. And they've got a couple of veterans they're working with in Josh Tapau, who he tackled Lamar Jackson in the open field once. That's probably the highlight of his entire career. Wow. He's been in the league for 7 years. And Deidre Sanat, nose tackle, has been in the league for 6 years, is another guy. So they have two veterans, and they have two rookies in C.J. Ravenel, who had two sacks the other day on consecutive plays, and Tramell Walther, who's out of Georgia. So they've got old, they've got young, they've got a lot of different ways to try it during the, let's call it, the last three quarters of this football game. And it'll be interesting to see how.
Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious high potency gummies, top shelf flower, home baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary. You can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code RAVENS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tab. Also, on them.
Service plan required for watch or tap. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
They align those guys, whether they go one young, one old, and both halves kind of thing, or exactly how they do it.
Yeah, Walther is a little light. He's only 273, and the rest of the defensive line is over 300. So I don't know how that'll fare in if his strength is...
I have 283 on the Ravens roster here. I don't know what that, you know, it's still too light, but yeah. it's a little bit. He probably projects more like a five tech, like Brent Urban, mm-hmm. as a guy who'd be in there in a base defense, obviously in this kind of a preseason game in the second half, trying to close something out. But yeah, he's small. That's definitely small.
Yeah, I'm just going to see how he anchors well in the – well, just sits when he's going up against bigger guys and trying to hold his own in the gap.
He should be going up against the Eagles threes, I would think. So it should be some chances against some players who are not going to make the team and you know, are on the fringe of having their NFL careers ended. So yeah, it should be an opportunity. Let's move on to the edge. The really disappointing news from about a week ago now is that Malik Ham is out for the season. And he was the guy I was really hoping for because, you know, Sam linebacker characteristics, local kid, which is always a nice story, seemed to be rushing the passer pretty effectively this camp, but no longer.
Yeah, very tough. Malik Ham was someone on my radar as well. I thought he had really good twitch. Gets off the line pretty fast, and that's something that we value here in lights of Terrell Suggs, Adafi Owe. Just getting that extra second was essential, and Ham had that. It's going to be interesting to see how he comes back next year after another injury, and he had a leg injury last year, correct?
Actually, I don't remember. I don't remember what the problem was. I don't remember actually. So he's going to accrue another year of service, which is the issue since he's on IR.
Right.
And that means he's going to be a third year player next year, which is not a good place to be with no professional experience effectively.
Yep. And I'm just hoping he can retain some of that explosiveness so we can get some value out of it as well.
Yeah.
And it sucks that as he's down, also Adisa Isaac is still on NFI, and that's very upsetting after we spent a decent pick on him.
So I don't know what to think of what's going on with that, because Harbaugh mentions him about every second or third time he's at the podium as being a guy they're going to get back, and they hope to get back soon. And it says kind of some of the same things about TJ Tampa. Tampa's on PUP, so that might well last into the season. I think I get the impression that the injury to Adisa Isaac is like a nagging hamstring injury that he has to get by, pass a conditioning test, get on the field, and then we'll see, you know, some snippet of what the Ravens have with this potentially very talented player. I would not rule out the possibility that he, at some point, the Ravens shut him down for the year because they don't really want to waste the year of eligibility. And I don't know what the rules are related to that. I don't know if they have to get an agreement from anybody, but specifically from Isaac and his people. But if they could retain the extra year of eligibility, it obviously is a much better position, as we've seen with Voorhees, than it has been with Ajabo, who was on NFI, came back after half a season, just played a tiny little bit, a couple games at the end, just a few snaps, and then the next year is lost after what, a game and a half or something.
And Ojabo has fallen out of favor with me. I think his, just like Dobbins, his forcing his way back has cost him and the Ravens in terms of contractual control over a player, and also his development. On top of that, he's going to go into his third year with no real film, no real production, just like Ham is going to go into next year. And I know he expects the world, but this preseason game, he almost has to play the whole first half into the third quarter. I want to see a lot of David Ajabo. I mean, they do maybe need to hold him back a little bit, not to push him to the point where he gets re-injured again, but I want to see him continue to grow, especially in the run game and being able to contain the edge, because that was something last year that was very, very disappointing.
Yeah, looked bad in the preseason, that's for sure. And during the regular season, didn't look that much better. Tavius Robinson should see some playing time too. I think we'll see some of Malik Harrison, he was at the podium today, one of the Ravens' really valuable, versatile players. And I think that as of right now, we'll see Tavius Robinson playing a lot of Sam linebacker, a lot on what is effectively the offensive right side where the tight end usually is, or following the tight end, you could call it that. And he dropped the coverage a lot, was typically only used in the base defense, which means he's in and there mostly on first down and, you know, first and 10, and where a run is more likely than it would otherwise be. And then, you know, you have Davis Robinson on the other side playing that rush side. And that's not enough snaps for him individually. He's looked better as a pass rusher this camp, which is nice, because the Ravens are very short. And I'm getting pretty close to the point where I think the Ravens might go out and get another veteran outside linebacker, which I didn't think was going to happen. But, you know, now since then, Adisa Isaac is still on NFI. And
I was really hoping Ham was that guy.
Yeah, and Ham. He's the other one, exactly. So, you know, they may need another veteran, and the Ravens have been good at that. And the nice thing about it is they can kind of take it from an inside linebacker spot, because I think they're counting on Malik Harrison to step in at inside linebacker if things don't work out.
Do you think they go back to Unique Ngakoue? Because I think he might be the best pass rusher out there.
He's still available?
Yes.
Yeah. So I'd have to look at him for age and production last year and whatnot. I won't say it's impossible. If they think he fits, then they do it. Just based
on circumstances when he came on the trade last time, will that be an issue? You know.
Yeah, and it could be. I mean, you know, some of it may depend on things we can't see, like how much he really and his agent really hoard themselves around to the rest of the league in terms of trying to get maximum value and levering what the Ravens were doing that we might not be able to see in terms of making some offer. What the Ravens typically do with players when they say, go ahead and test the market, at least in the Ozzie era, was they just give them a kind of a baseline figure going out to hit free agency. And they say, here, we'll at least start with this. And if somebody else gives you better offers, come back to us and we'll talk. We'll have a discussion if this is reasonable. Market conditions may have changed. Right now, this is the best we can do. It's usually a very, very baseline offer. Like this year, they might have offered a player like Geno Stone $5 million a year for 3 years or something. Or they might have offered Gus Edwards, and he got 7.5 or something. And or they might have offered Gus Edwards, $2 million. Yeah, exactly. Right. And it'd be something that the player doesn't really like, but at least it gives them a baseline for negotiation with their next team, and you know, something they can work on. It is much more difficult working in the market otherwise. And also the Ravens, you know, then kind of are more likely to get that compensatory pick that they really crave, because the player is more likely to go out and get the contract they want. Now, unfortunately, the guy that didn't happen for, because he just wasn't as good as he thinks he is Patrick Queen. He just didn't get the money that the Ravens or he hoped he would get.
I wonder how much weight his statement holds when saying other people offered him more money than Pittsburgh and he decided to go.
I think it is 100% bullshit. I call bullshit absolutely. I don't think for a moment that either Patrick Queen or his agent would turn down money that was even, say, $2 or $3 million higher than what he got with Pittsburgh. And he was basically telling people he's going to exceed $70 million on 4 years, and he got $41 million over three with the Steelers.
Yeah, I mean, teams are not oblivious to the fact he's a Roquan merchant. He's Mike McDonald student of. He's just a product of his defense. I mean, you put him. I'm very, very interested to see what Patrick Queen does with Pittsburgh, and I'm definitely rooting against him.
Of course,
no shame either. Yeah. And it's like, I can't wait for him to look stupid out there, because he's going to get exposed at Mike.
The fact that he's a Steeler now is enough reason to root against him. You don't need any special reason, but it is exceptionally good that the Ravens have a player there who might be given a lot of trouble by Derrick Henry. It is exceptionally, positive to think that.
Yeah. He doesn't even tackle. So I just can't wait for Henry to just blow his face off.
All right, let's keep going. Inside linebacker, a couple guys I want to see. I do want to see Josh Ross on the field. And the Ravens have Malik Harrison will get time there, and Board will get time at inside linebacker in this first game, I'd be convinced. I wasn't, by the way, I'm a little surprised, having seen it occur now, that Malik Harrison is really the backup Mike. You know, his kind of body has been made. He got a lot bigger to play Sam. He listed at 259 last year. Let me see where he lists right now. Just I think that's worth taking a quick look at. Malik Harrison currently listed 255, which is much more weight than an inside linebacker typically carries. And he's looked very good in this preseason. He's had some plays. He's had a couple picks. I think he had a fumble recovery. He was right in the way on a pass that got overthrown today. It would have been intercepted if it was on target. He got a lateral from Marlon Humphrey today on a pick.
Nice.
But anyway, I think
Malik, him being Mike, is obviously, to me, it makes sense regardless of what his weight has came to be just for the Sam role. I think, he's always going to be a two down thumper, and he's going to make his money in that role. God forbid Roquan go down, then we're in some real shit with trying to figure out how we can deploy. I think that's when we go back to the dime on third down.
Yeah, that's exactly choice. What would happen. I'm convinced that's what would. So it'd be Simpson would be a two down Mike. Will and a third down Mike.
Yep.
Two down Will, third down Mike. And then they bring in a dime to replace Simpson's vacated spot there. That just makes the most sense to me by far. If they somehow decided, oh, no, we got to give Chris Board a chance because of this, I would be livid about that.
We cannot go to nickel if he's not there, because it just doesn't work. Yeah. I don't even think we can go to nickel now. Well, we'll see how Simpson does and how we accumulate the passing game on this level. But just... you know me. I want to go back to the dime anyway.
Well, I'm a big fan of the dime as well. I think benefit of the doubt goes to Simpson. First opportunity to fail has been earned by Simpson. And I think basically based on the way that the Ravens played so effectively with a committed nickel last year, and that Orr is a committed nickel himself as being a three down will, that I think the Ravens will start with that. And then if it fails, it fails, and they'll move on. I hope that, you know, I've asked Zach Orr the question already this year, and he basically said, no, the dime is one of the things we're going to use, as, you know, going to be maybe opponent dependent and whatnot. By the way, his answer is out there. Just go listen to it. Don't let me paraphrase it for you. But I definitely did not get the impression that the dime is ever going to be a first choice of his.
Yeah.
From his answer.
So, that's fair.
It was what it was.
I think going back to the inside linebackers, I know I've talked about Josh Ross on this show at hand. I mean, I enjoy his play, his instinctual play at linebacker. I think he was nicked up last year as well, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping he can get through this camp healthy and continue to show that he has the ability to play the weak side linebacker role and just continue to be an option if Simpson either needs a breather or, God forbid, goes down and we have to plug him in. I think I'd be comfortable with Josh Ross if he continues to get reps and understand the game and the speed, because he's going to have Roquan next to him, an all pro, and he's going to be able to adjust well because he already has the IQ.
Yeah, he probably is a two down player if he comes in. He's a two down will with a dime if he has to replace Simpson. But I would say he's looked pretty good this year. In fact, he had two really nice run stops today. It's just run drills, but a part of that is knowing what gap you're supposed to be in, and twice exactly. in a row on consecutive plays, you know, he was right where he needed to be to bottle the ball carrier up. So I'm optimistic. One of the things we saw from Ross in his first season was a little bit more ability to play coverage. And I hope we see that in the first preseason game. So that'd be one of the things I'm looking for.
Yep. That'd be even more valuable for him, because he can hit the hole as a run stopper, but
yeah,
that second level, that passing game, is how you get your money in the NFL.
So the cornerback position we'll move on to here. There's been a few players in camp who have kind of looked good, with the biggest being Marlon Humphrey, who just looks like his superstar self of old again, which is unbelievably good. It would be even better if we could reverse the play of Nate Wiggins and Marlon Humphrey at this point, because it'd make the decision to say goodbye to Marlon Humphrey very easy, and you'd have the cheaper option that you'd be keeping for more years in Nate Wiggins. But the truth of the matter is, Nate Wiggins has looked like he's had a real problem adapting to the NFL, and Marlon Humphrey, he has had a pick, but Marlon Humphrey has had about 5-6 picks now. He's been all over the field. It almost looks like he knows exactly where the ball is coming from, particularly from the Ravens' backup quarterbacks. He's also intercepted Lamar several times. So he's playing at a level that we haven't seen before. I'm still kind of hopeful that he can transition into being a safety with the Ravens, possibly at some point. He says those conversations have not yet occurred, but you know, I'm still hopeful that it might.
Have you seen the visible difference in his weight loss this year?
Oh yeah, he looks a lot thinner. People have commented on that. Yeah, he looks like he's moving around very well, still being very physical to the amount it's still allowed in these games. Still looks physical at the point of the ball, but the old Marlon Humphrey was relying a lot on the baseball bat arms to dislodge the football, or even to cause forced fumbles after the reception was all the way in hand. This Marlon Humphrey is just finding the ball in the air and nice. Snagging it, taking it away or knocking it away. There's very little post catch contact has been necessary for Marlon in camp so far.
Okay. Cause the big thing last year was Marlon would almost get left midway through the route, and that seemed to be an issue, a recurring issue on deep balls going towards him. So I'm hoping to see a big difference in him continuing to be able to stay with the receiver and make plays on the ball, because even in his heyday, he wasn't making interceptions. So yeah. I really want to see that from Marlon.
Yeah. He's had we have definitely seen step-for-step coverage a fair amount. I have a code for that I put right in the book as I'm recording the plays. And we've seen a lot of him forcing the receiver to the boundary, which is kind of the old Marlon Humphrey, Jimmy Smith, Ike Taylor way of playing that right corner position in particular. You deny space to that player. Actually, I mean, he's the left corner now, I guess. So he's a guy who could do it hopefully on either side, but you make it difficult for the quarterback to have any remaining space to fit that football in.
What do you think the issue has been with Nate Wiggins so far in camp?
So one of the things I really liked about him, and it was a corroboration of fantastic measurables, including that 4.28 40 and other things, other elements of his measurements, was the fantastic coverage results. I think in college it was a lot of reliance on makeup speed, which is really evident from a low penalty total. He only had one penalty all of last year. So I think that we've seen him rely on his makeup speed here, and he's just been trailing a lot. And it's going to happen in 7-on-7 drills, and it's going to happen in 11-on-11 when the defense isn't really playing all out, or the defensive line has some brother-in-law stuff going on with the offensive line. It's going to happen, but it would be better if he were more of a force in individual coverage matchups than he has been so far in camp.
Yeah, and I don't think, to your point, we're seeing that in 11-on-11 and drills such as that. But I think when the game comes, we're going to continue to see the two high shell that the Ravens have played all year last year. And that's going to leave him less exposure on the outside, play that mid to short, and continue to make plays on the ball and keep his eyes in the backfield. I think once he continues to get a grasp of that, that's when we'll be able to see more man coverage and probably obviously on third down. I know Orr has came up all the way through the ranks through Wink, and I'm pretty sure the Rex Ryan DNA has touched him as well. So pressure on third down. So he has to be able to step up in man coverage on those situations. But I think as the year goes on, we'll continue to see him get more comfortable.
Yeah. They need to find it out. And honestly, it'd be nice if he didn't just face backup quarterbacks all during this preseason, which means he's got to start. Well, I mean, if they follow the Ravens model, you know, they'll play Lamar basically a quarter or less the entire preseason. And if other teams are doing that, you don't really have an option to face, you know, good quarterbacks. Even if you're Nate Wiggins, you start every game. If that's what the Ravens want to do, you still don't have a good chance to face good quarterbacks. So he's going to have to get that playing time in rotation during the season, which means either Humphrey has to move to the slot on some plays, or Humphrey has to move to safety on some plays with Hamilton in the slot, which either one, in my opinion, is viable. But anyway, I it'll be interesting to see how they lay it out. I don't think you have to give Eddie Jackson the same role that Geno Stone had last year.
Okay.
So that would be like a full-time half field guy whenever Hamilton is moving up.
Okay.
I don't think you have to give him that. I think he could play, you know, two thirds as many snaps as Stone, which means there's another, you know, call it 25% of the snaps that might be available for someone else to be in there at corner with Humphrey at safety, say.
Okay.
Now they haven't talked about this happening yet. It seems like it would make sense. Probably if it happens, it'll be a function of injury. Right now, the Ravens are pretty well set on the back end. They have Darrell Worley, who's another guy I want to see on the back end. They still have Ardarius Washington, who's been practicing at safety, but I think is a much more natural slot corner, who we'll see in this first game. They've got a lot of options in the secondary, is what you're hearing. I think where they're going to end up being short is probably not at safety now. It's probably at outside corner. With Tampa out, they're really at three. I don't really trust JAD. Other people like him more. And then they've got it's a fairly steep drop off of other players you're talking about.
How has our favorite corner looked so far, JAD?
Up and down. Okay. I still don't find like he finds the football the way he should in the air. I think he probably has a pick this camp already. Almost everyone does. Ardarius Washington just got on the board today with a big pick six and a backflip for the touchdown. But it's in terms of JAD, if you listen to the coaches, he's playing great, great, everything's fine.
Yeah.
If you actually like watch him play by play, what's going on, he has some, you know, he has some of the same step-by-step coverage which we saw last camp, but you have to then be able to both touch the receiver and find the football in the air at the same time. So you can keep track, you know, by contact with the receiver on where he is, and then also go up and get the football and time that up properly. And that's the thing, he just hasn't put those pieces together yet.
So you're saying when he's in phase with the receiver, and obviously he has a hand on him just to make sure where he's at, when he turns, he's having that issue when he looks for the football, he's just losing the guy?
Yeah, I mean, that's been my feeling about how his whole career to date is gone. JT also, the other problem is he's hardly played any preseason
football. Yeah, exactly.
So he hasn't played any in the regular season to speak of either. So that means he has almost no NFL experience in his third year here. They're going to have to figure out pretty quickly what they want to do about him. I think based on having a solid camp and not having like a bunch of double negatives and triple negatives attached to his name, which I wouldn't say has happened, that I think that he's made the team. But a player like Kadar Holman, if he were to come up with a big preseason, he's a guy who's 30 now, but was extremely fast when he came out of Toledo, a 4.39 guy, and could be a guy who would threaten JAD. Probably not, but you know, if you're talking about trying to find somebody who maybe has looked okay. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else on the team who I'm forgetting about. So Mollett is in the slot, of course. Brandon Stevens is on the outside. We're counting on as either the number one or number two guy, along with Humphrey. Pepe, I don't think, is going to make the team, but we'll see. He might be used really? For returning kicks. Yeah, that would be my feeling now.
Even at slot?
I mean, he's behind a lot of people. He's behind Mollett and Ardarius Washington and Hamilton at slot.
That's fair.
How do you fit him in there? Are you going to fit him at safety? Well, now he's got four safeties ahead of him for sure, plus Ardarius Washington, plus, you know, other guys they drafted. So I don't really see that. And Pepe is a third-year player, so a lot of the sand is ticked out of the hourglass. So I just I honestly, unless they envision some other return role for him that I'm not considering here, I just don't see him as making the team. We'll see, but I wouldn't see it as happening.
That's disappointing. Eric DaCosta loves to say you can never have enough corners. I hope we have him on speed dial, or we can retain him on practice squad.
Yeah, that's a possibility, because I don't think there's a lot of demand for Pepe at this point.
That's good.
They can cut him and they can put him on the practice squad.
I think he would be the person right underneath Ardarius Washington. They're almost the same build, the same type. So I feel like they're essentially interchangeable in their play.
Yeah, and I think, is Ardarius in his fourth year now, or Ardarius still in his third year? Ardarius Washington is still in his third year also. So that right there, he has a big advantage, because Ardarius Washington has probably more significant experience now after this camp in terms of playing safety. So if he could... I don't like Ardarius Washington at strong safety. I don't like him in the half field role, because I think he's too small for the tackling responsibilities of the position. Exactly. But I do like the versatility as being able to get you through a portion of a game.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it could be forced to get you through a portion of a season too, but Darrell Worley is a better choice for that.
Ardarius Washington is a third-year player, but he's been with the team for 4 years, right?
That's correct. So he one of his years didn't qualify because he was cut.
Injured.
No, the injured would. If he's injured, he gets credit for the year, like last year, for example. But if there was some other condition where he didn't get, he might have spent a fair amount of time on the practice squad and didn't accumulate six games. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure exactly what it was. But he didn't.
Because I know he's been around for a while, and his name has been circulating for years now. So
yeah, you're absolutely correct. And I've been through these mental gymnastics before at trying to figure out why wasn't he effectively a fourth year player now, but I think it was last year. Why wasn't he a third year player and only a second year player? And I remember that it proved to be correct, but I couldn't figure out why. And I think Brian McFarland explained it to me, and I did not retain it. So I'm sorry to have that happen, but that's the sort of thing.
What's your take on Eddie Jackson so far in camp?
He's looked okay, largely in position. Had a pick right away when he showed up, which was nice. Seems to be a guy Okay. So, you know, I did an Eddie Jackson show. I certainly have. I wasn't real crazy about him as the choice, but I guess what I'd say is that the Ravens are going to give him a more limited role than what he had in Chicago. And I think he was asked to do a lot in Chicago. And we've seen how much better a player Roquan is here in Baltimore than he was in Chicago. I think we could see the same thing. I think you have a guy who just, he had too large a role as a full-time free safety in Chicago, and a split field role is probably about, you know, 80% of the coverage responsibility in terms of the amount of the field you have to cover, half field versus maybe 60 to 65% of the field, let's say.
Right.
And I think that that probably hurt him. He has not been a good tackler in his career. So that has hurt him, and that might continue to hurt him. So I'm not sure about that. And in that way, I don't see him as being way ahead of our Darius Washington. But then Geno Stone had a bad tackling year last year, and the Ravens were fine with it. They were able to get through despite it. So I think if it all comes down to his ball hawk and second man of the ball skills. Is he going to be good on tip balls? Is he going to be a good guy for pouncing on a fumble right away or knocking a fumble loose as second man of the ball? If those things are good, then Eddie Jackson, his turnovers will be worth it. For what it's worth, Eddie Jackson had 5 of his 6 career defensive touchdowns during those first 3 seasons. In the last 4 seasons, which I've aggregated in a lot of the work I've done, he's averaged 10 yards per target allowed. Over that, if you use the PFR targets as opposed to the PFF targets, and he's had a 14.5% missed tackle rate for his career. I think it comes down to better structure, better team, better play.
Fair enough. And I really did want a headhunter at our strong safety position, only because the missed tackles last year really didn't come to bite us in the AFC Championship game, but there was games where tackle was just abysmal, and it was tough to see, especially Geno Stone and Patrick Queen. They're probably the worst two tacklers on the team, in my opinion. I'm kind of glad that they're not part of it, because part of the team this year, because they did become liabilities when people were in open space, especially Geno, because he would just stay high and expect to get the ball out or something. So I'm hoping that the limited role does help Jackson.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that's reasonable. We gotta tie this together. Daryl Worley, if you want to bet on preseason football, Daryl Worley will be the defensive MVP of this first preseason game if he sees significant playing time in the second half. And this is my exact call last year, not changing it. I was right last year, by the way. But Ardarius Washington could also be in there at the end of the football game. They have guys. They want to get Braid and Kane in the job. I would not put it past Harbaugh to use Worley and possibly Ardarius Washington as free safeties while they use a different strong safety in each half to try and work through this. Braid he's in the run drills. He does other things. So he's going to be a strong safety. Kane is really a dime back and special teams player. So he's not, honestly, Braid and Worley. So Kane, Braid, and Worley are the three guys really competing for the last roster spot to be assigned at safety. I think Worley is the clear choice for that, but we'll see how they play it out.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. You were saying that Sanusi Kane has been a little disappointing this camp. Why would you say that?
Don't think he's been in position uniformly well. The other day he had a missed assignment that led to a touchdown by the right pylon on, you know, which was clearly his responsibility. But I would say, generally speaking, his positioning playing from that back end half field slot has not been ideal.
Fair.
Okay. If we're talking about Bo Braid, I think, I'm not sure it's any better, honestly. So we'll see. I think Worley, the case is he really back from his injury? Is he going to be okay? He's a bigger, more experienced player in terms of what he gives the Ravens. He's also a one-year solution in some way. But the other way I would look at it is Daryl Worley will earn the vet minimum for however long the Ravens want him at this point.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere.
So hopefully he does play good and we're able to keep that in the back pocket because he's probably a handshake crew as well. So
yes, absolutely. He and Urban will be the two guys that'll essentially give them four extra roster spots beyond the 53 because they have two accruing from the two got added by rule this year.
Yep.
So, all right. Frazier, always a pleasure talking about this year. I hope folks out there have a lot to look forward to in terms of the preseason game. But Frazier, tell us where they can contact you and talk football with you online.
You guys can reach me at Twitter/X at F_Rave8. That's F_Rave8.
All right. Well, thanks again. We look forward to the series this year again of matchups that we'll do on a weekly basis. And other folks out there, if you'd like to be on a film study short, hit me up. DMs are always open on Twitter. And I am still encouraging people to tell somebody else about the podcast. And you could do that via a review if you don't have anyone else to tell, or maybe show an older person who doesn't use podcasts how to get to this online website at filmstudybaltimore.com, look at the podcast tab, and just listen to a podcast there. And if anyone else, I'm also considering, I'll throw this out there, taking on someone as an intern who would like to do work trying to promote the podcast. And if you're interested in what that would entail, contact me directly via DM on Twitter. I'd love to hear from you. Frazier, thanks again for all you do. And we'll talk to you next week on Matchups.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.